And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. We'll read from verse 1 through to verse 14. So this is the word of God. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. And may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. Now, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain, or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Amen. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. In these two verses, Paul lays down some very essential imperatives for the Corinthians and for ourselves. He gives us five military-type commands. Watch, stand fast, be brave, be strong, be loving. Now, when you think about it, if the Corinthians had just lived out these five commands, Paul wouldn't have had to write this book, because these commands reverse all the earlier errors of the letter that he's dealing with. And you'll see that as we work through these five commands. So let's begin to look at these five military commands given to the believer. I'm going to cover the first two this morning. The next three we'll cover in 2 weeks. Next week I'll be with the SGA at the SGA conference. But number one, watch or be alert. The Greek word can be used in a physical sense to be awake as opposed to being asleep, or it can be used in a spiritual sense. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, it is used in a spiritual way. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch or be awake and be sober. So it could be a word that is used for a physical awakening, or it could be used of a spiritual awakening. And here in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it's used in that spiritual sense. Now, he's obviously not writing to people who are sound asleep physically. He's writing to people who are asleep spiritually. And he says to them, waken up. He says, be alert. And the word has more to it than just being awake as opposed to being asleep. It has the idea of really being awake, of really being aware, having a determined effort to be alert. Now, that's difficult, isn't it? Even for yourselves, isn't it difficult? Because we battle against the flesh. And Satan is also here and he's trying to distract. And something pops into our mind something very trivial. Haven't you all experienced it? I know when I've been sitting in a pew listening, I've experienced it. A stupid thought comes into the mind. It's oh so trivial. And you latch on to it and you follow it through. And before you know it, you're elsewhere. You know, spiritually, you've drifted off somewhere else and you're not engaged. And it's difficult. And so Paul is saying to us as a congregation, you have to make that determined effort to be awake. You have to listen. You have to engage your mind. You can't sort of let yourself drift off. You know, you can't start counting the dots along that little sort of vent in the ceiling, can you? You have to be concentrating. You have to be engaging. And the idea is to know what's going on. And incidentally, the word here, the word watch or awake or be alert, it's used 22 times in the New Testament. And it's used again and again with reference to the Christian. The Christian life must be a life of alertness. We've got to be awake. We've got to understand what's going on. We need to evaluate. And friends, we need to be aware of what the enemy is doing. And Paul is saying, you can't live the Christian life in a daze. You can't live the Christian life in a state of stupor. You've got to be alert. Now, this was part of the Corinthian problem, their behavior. They were in a stupor most of the time. First of all, a lot of them were in a physical stupor. Frankly, they were drunk. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 21, in eating, you come together and you think it's the Lord's Supper, but it isn't, because of what you're turning it into. And he says, one is hungry and another is drunk. They were literally getting drunk, so they were in a state of stupor. Now, one of the reasons that you obviously shouldn't get drunk, among others, is that when you're drunk, you're no longer alert to what's going on. You're not alert to Satan. You're not alert to temptation. You're not alert to your needs. You aren't alert to anything. And friends, that's a good reason never to take anything into your body that's going to bring you under its power and blind you from being alert. Well, the Corinthians, they were in a state of physical drunkenness at times. But Paul's point here is not the physical, but the spiritual. They were in a spiritual stupor. They just were not alert. And that's a deadly situation for any Christian to be in. Now, let me show you what I mean. I want to just go backwards in the book. And at each of those five commands, I want to show you the opposite situation in Corinth and how these five commands were simply the flip side of their problem. So instead of being watchful, instead of being alert, they weren't. They were drifting off into this spiritual stupor. So we know, having gone through the book so far, we can ask the question, were the Corinthians alert? And you know the answer to that, because we have worked our way through this book. No, the Corinthians were not alert. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, Paul says, don't you know? And I've already indicated that we have to understand. It's our duty to understand. We need to know what's going on. We need to evaluate. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? He says, come on. Don't you know that you can't let sinners into the fellowship without them having an effect on it? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 12, he says, don't you judge those in your midst? Don't you evaluate those people to see whether they're a plus or a negative to your fellowship? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, he says, don't you know that the saints will judge in the kingdom? You certainly ought to be able to take care of the affairs here and not drag them, you know, before a pagan law court. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 3, he says, "Don't you know that we shall judge angels? Don't you know that what a high calling we have before Almighty God, and we ought to be able to settle our own problems?" In chapter 6, verse 4, he says, is there nobody wise among you? In chapter 6, verse 9, he says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Chapter 6, verse 15, "Don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ's body?" In chapter 6, verse 16, "Don't you know that if you're joined to a harlot, you're one flesh with that harlot?" Chapter 6, verse 19, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" And friends, the problem with the Corinthians was that they didn't know. And you can't be alert if you don't know. Isn't that right? So they were in a spiritual stupor. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he has to say to them, look, be aware. Or take heed. Waken up. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, take heed. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, Brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. But they were ignorant. They were in a spiritual stupor. They weren't alert. And the result was the whole Corinthian situation was messed up. The Corinthians, because they were in such a stupor, were brought under the power of everything. They were victims of everything. Every phony human philosophy, every wrong kind of human behavior, it affected them. They were victims because they weren't alert. Now you may say, well, come on, Billy, it's an early church. One of the first churches founded in the Gentile world. You know, can you really say it was their fault because, you know, they didn't have the resources? Well, oh yes, they did. They had plenty of resources. They had apostolic doctrine. Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." Apostolic doctrine. And you see, he's calling them to waken up. And believers have to be alert. Friend, you will never live the Christian life with a sense of victory by running around in ignorance. You'll never function on principles that you don't know or you've never been taught. If you're Christian, and I can take it or leave it type of Christian. Or if you're a type of Christian that says, you know, I'll just get by with the little I know, you're going to end up in a lot of trouble. And if you live like that, you've just forfeited the joy of being in the will of God and the joy of seeing how God blesses you when you're in his will, because you don't know the will of God unless you've studied the word to know what it is. Isn't that right? And so if you're living blissfully in some sort of ignorance, you don't know what the will of God is, and you're not going to be living in victory. You're not going to be experiencing that blessing, the many blessings that God has laid out for us. Now, the New Testament says a lot about what we're to watch for. I'm going to highlight six of them for you. Number one, the Bible says we are to watch for Satan. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober. You know, it's telling you not to be, Peter's saying, don't be in a stupor. He's saying, be sober, be vigilant. You'll be watchful, be alert. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, who is it that he's seeking to devour? He's seeking to devour the one who isn't watching. And so you need to be alert. You need to be alert to the wily craftiness, the subtleties of Satan. You need to understand how he operates. You need to learn his strategies. You ought to be aware. Hence, last year we did a little series on Wednesday night. Know your enemy. Know his craftiness. If you want to follow that series through, there's an excellent little book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices by that Puritan Thomas Brooks. It's an excellent little book that will tell you how to be alert and to watch for Satan. Don't be trapped, because Satan's going around looking for the Christian. I've said it a number of times. What type of Christian is he looking for? He's looking for the Christian who's on the fringes. And we've used that illustration a number of times. You're watching the BBC nature programs, and they're out in the safari, and they're following these pack of lions, and the lions are hungry, and they want to kill a wildebeest or a zebra or whatever. And you're watching the program, and who's the lion stalking? It's not the ones in the herd. It's the ones on the fringes. You know, the wildebeest that's out on its own, you know, nibbling away at the grass, seeking whom he may devour. And I say it until I'm blue in the face, and I've encouraged you and I've exhorted you. If you're on the fringes of the fellowship, you're prey to Satan. If you're not in the center of the fellowship, supporting the fellowship, encouraging the fellowship with your presence, you're prey to Satan. And if you think, well, I'm strong enough to stand, take heed, lest you fall. Because on the authority of the Word of God, I know that Satan walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you're missing out the prayer meeting, if you're missing out Sunday nights, if you're not involved in the life of the work of the church, Satan has singled you out and he's going to devour you. You've got to watch. Secondly, you've got to watch for temptation. Mark 14, verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptations. You know, friends, Satan's got demonic forces that you and I have never thought of. And you and I can't just go blissfully through the world opening up ourselves to everything without it having an effect upon us. It will hurt us. It will expose us to temptation. Watch. Keep your eyes open. The third thing the New Testament talks about is watch out for apathy and indifference. And how easy it is to fall into apathy and indifference. The church at Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ says, you know, you have a name that you live, and you're dead. Watch. Watch and strengthen the things that remain. Listen, beloved, a church can just drift into apathy. Members of a church can just drift into apathy. A Christian can get smug, self-content, apathetic, and sadly indifferent to the Lord. And the Lord said to the church at Sardis, you know, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come like a thief in the night, and I'm going to come in judgment against you. You see, the Lord will come and chasten an apathetic, indifferent Christian who doesn't deal with sin, who doesn't deal with weakness, who doesn't deal with disobedience. Now don't think, friend, don't think that you can just smugly pop yourself down and do your own thing without any recourse. God will chasten. And he will chasten, listen, he will chasten because he loves you. He will chasten because you are the apple of his eye. And God will chasten because he wants proper behavior in order that he may pour out blessing after blessing after blessing upon your life. So apathy is another thing we have to watch for. Now look at your life. Look at your life in the light of the Word of God this morning. Ask yourself, have I become apathetic? Have I become indifferent? You know, if you get to the place where you're comfortable in your apathy, if you get to the place where you're comfortable with your sin and your rebellion and your disobedience, you say, but Billy, I'm not disobedient. You know, try to sort out my sin. You know, God says quite clearly in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the meeting of yourselves together. Now, that's a command. And if you're forsaking the meeting of yourself with your brothers and sisters in Christ who are here, it's disobedience. And if you're living comfortably in that disobedience, you're in trouble. You got to watch for that. Another thing you got to watch for is false teachers. In 1 Timothy, Paul said in his second letter, in writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, isn't it? He says there's going to be people who come along and they're not going to be adhering to sound doctrine. And they're going to turn away the ears of the people from the truth and turn them aside to fables. And friends, we have covered that extensively on Wednesday evening as we studied 2 Peter chapter 3, where Peter highlights false teaching. So we don't need to labor that point. But friends, we need to be aware of false teaching, false doctrine. Keep your mind alert. Fifthly, the Bible tells us to watch in prayer. Peter says, watch in prayer. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, he says to them in chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. You know, watch for the saints, pray for the saints, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to watch and we are to pray. Are you found at the prayer meeting? Come on, answer yourself. Answer before God this morning, not the preacher. Are you found at the prayer meeting? Are you watching in prayer? If you come to a prayer meeting, please come prepared to pray. You know, so watch the news. See what's happening in the world. And say, I'm going to pray about that tonight. Read the missionary magazines that we get. And take one of those missionaries upon your heart and pray. Pray for, as we have said so often, unsaved members of your family. Sons, daughters, brothers, sisters. There is so much to be praying for. And if you're not found at the prayer meeting, is God going to bless you? Come and pray. Be eager to pray. Come through the doors of the building ready to pray. You can't pray without knowing what's going on. So one more. Watch. Watch Satan. Watch for temptation. Watch for apathy. Watch for false teachers. Watch in prayer. Lastly, watch for the Lord's return. The New Testament says Matthew 24, verse 24, Matthew 25, verse 13, 2 Peter chapter 3, and then a host of other passages. The Lord is coming. And because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and we don't know the day or the hour. It could come today, it could come tomorrow, but we are exhorted in the scriptures to watch. What does it mean to watch? Well, again, we've covered this extensively on Wednesday evening, but it certainly means to live in holiness and godliness. I'll just give you the headings of what we covered on Wednesday evening. You know, watch in expectation, live in anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live at peace with God. Keep short accounts with God in relation to sin. Live in purification, evangelization. If Christ is coming back to judge the living and the dead, friends, we need to be calling upon people to repent, to return to Jesus Christ. Live in discrimination, because we said about the false teachers. Live in maturity. We've got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in adoration. The God of all glory is coming again. And, you know, we've got such a short amount of time. And we need to be busy in the Lord's business. But the Corinthians blew it. The Corinthians were not alert. Consequently, they were victimized by Satan. They were victimized by temptation. They were victimized by apathy and indifference. They were victimized by false teachers. They were victimized by prayerlessness. And they were not ready for the Lord's return. They were even denying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes to them and he says, look, you know, if you just were watchful, you would reverse all of these problems. So be alert. You say, how do you do that? Well, friends, all of the warnings, all of the things that you need to know are in this marvelous book. So take time to read the book. It's a microscope on every little subtlety of Satan. It reveals all. Watch by getting right into this book and then applying its principles, working it out in the life. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, to make you complete, to make you mature. Just get into the Word. It's the window through which you watch. Second point, stand fast or stand firm. Verse 13, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith. The word means rooted down. The Corinthians, they were just blowing around with the breeze. But the command is stand fast in the faith. As Jude says in his little epistle, stand fast in the faith once delivered to the saints. The faith, the gospel, Christianity. Hold on to the word of God, beloved. Hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. The Greek doesn't say that. The AV says it. The New King James says it. But the NIV and the ESV, they get it right. Spot on. The Greek says, fight the good fight of the faith. You see, friends, we need to fight to hold to the faith, the content of our faith, because Satan wants to wrest it away from us. He wants to wrest away the content of the truth. And it's happening today, isn't it? Satan wrestling away the truth. You know, nobody wants to hear about hell anymore. Nobody wants to believe in creation anymore. You know, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. And if you don't believe in creation, well, you've got to get rid of a literal Adam and Eve. And of course, you've got to get rid of judgment. That was happening in Corinth, wasn't it? They weren't holding on to the faith. Friends, let me ask you this. What is the basic bottom line on the faith? It's this. It's a faith revealed by Almighty God. The bottom line of our faith, the content of the gospel, is supernaturally revealed by Almighty God. It is no equal. We have a revelatory faith. And the Corinthians, they had let go of that. Now, let me show you. Back in 1 Corinthians, the people were saying, you know, this Christian faith, this Christianity stuff, you know, it's foolishness. That's what they were saying in Corinth. And Paul says, you know, it's only foolish to those who are perishing. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But the Corinthians, with all their philosophy and all their paganism, they were saying, you know, the wise are the philosophers of this world. All the scribes, all the learned. Verse 20 and 1 Corinthians 1, he says, they were saying all the disputers of the age. They are the ones who are holding up human wisdom. And they were looking to these guys. And they were saying, this is the wisdom. This is the wisdom. And Paul calls it the wisdom of the world. That's what he calls it in verse 21. But these Corinthians, they were saying, you know, the gospel in all its simplicity, it's a stumbling block and it's foolishness. And they were turning to these so-called learned people of their age. Now, what I'm saying is this. The Corinthians had actually allowed human wisdom to so infest the church that they were accepting it on an equal basis with God's revelation. In other words, God's revelation had lost its distinctiveness. And friends, that's what's happening today. We have a viewpoint today that the Bible is simply a human commentary on a few that God existed in time, in the time in which it was written. So they're saying it was okay for them back in the first century. They didn't know an awful lot back then. But it's not, you know, for us in the 21st century. And friends, that's human wisdom. And they were cutting Christianity to the core. On a second level, after you've dealt with Christianity at the level that it's God's revelation, on the second greatest feature of Christianity is the person of Jesus Christ. You need to stand firm in that one, don't you? The Corinthians weren't even doing that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. The Corinthians were not standing fast in the faith, and when they were undermining the single authority of the Word of God, and they were literally cursing Jesus. Remember, we studied that a few months ago. They were cutting Christianity at its heart, denying Jesus Christ. Thirdly, as we saw in chapter 15, they were even denying the resurrection. Can you believe this? You know, these Corinthians, they were undermining the authority of the Word of God. They were denying the reality of Jesus Christ. They were denying that there was a resurrection. They just cut the heart out of the gospel. They weren't standing firm, standing fast in the faith. And Paul says to them, you've got to stand firm. He says, you've got to go back to the authority of the Word of God. You've got to hold fast to the deity of Christ. You've got to go back to the resurrection, which is the great cornerstone of Christianity. And he's saying, stand fast in the faith. Fight the good fight. Don't let go. And you see, he's reversing all those negatives that you find in the previous chapters. And if they were just standing fast in the faith, he wouldn't have had to write this epistle. 1 Corinthians, you know, could have been contained in those two verses. Just let me encourage you to do these five things. So he says, be alert. Be firm. Now just in closing, the second point, the Bible tells us to stand firm. It tells us to stand firm in the faith. It tells us to fight the good fight of the faith. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, 15 says, the gospel is that by which we have been called for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Now listen. Stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught by word and by our epistle. What is the key to being firm, to standing firm? It's the word of God, isn't it? It's apostolic doctrine. It's these epistles that we're studying. If you're going to be alert, you've got to get back into the Word of God and see the world through the lens of the Word of God. If you're going to be firm, you've got to know what the doctrine of the Word of God is, and you've got to stay alert. So the key to being alert, the key to standing firm, is the Word of God. And the term, the New Testament, again, says a lot about being firm. Just let me go through a few of them with you as we close. It says, be firm in your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 1. Stand fast in the Lord. Be firm in your commitment to Christ and your belief in his resources to fully equip you for fighting the good fight. It says, be firm in unity. Philippians 1, verse 27. Stand fast in one spirit. It says, be firm in liberty. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. And don't be entangled with the yoke or with the affairs of this world. It says, stand fast in the will of God. Stand firm in the will of God. Epaphras, he says to the Colossians, Epaphras in chapter 4, verse 12, he's saying, you know, he's praying for you. He's praying that you will stand fast, that you will stand firm. It says, be firm against Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, etc. So he says, stand fast. Stand firm against Satan. So we are to be firm in our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, firm in our unity, firm in our liberty, firm in the will of God. We are to be firm against Satan, solid, standing, fighting the good fight, not being blown about by every wind of doctrine, not seduced by seducing spirits and doctrine of demons. The Corinthians, beloved, the Corinthians were not firm, they were not alert. So they couldn't be firm in the gospel. And they couldn't be firm in devotion. They couldn't be firm in devotion to Christ. They couldn't be firm in liberty. They couldn't be firm in unity. They couldn't be firm in the will of God. They certainly weren't firm against Satan. They weren't in the Word. And friends, may God protect us from that Corinthian problem, individually, corporately as a church. May he grant us the grace to watch, to be alert, to stand firm, to fight the good fight. Three more commands to come. We'll take those up in a couple of weeks.